You want to reach and impact more people by sharing your intellectual property as an entrepreneur and thought leader? Together with Darren Reeves, we will explore why a book is the best strategy for growing your business. Darren Reeves is the CEO and founder of the Automatic Authority Publishing and Press House, the publishing house of choice for entrepreneurs who want to make impact with their words. Welcome to the Online Business by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanek, and this is your mindset and marketing podcast to help you build a business next to your 9-to-5 without burning out. And most importantly, enjoying your business journey while you are making money and impact. Grab your favorite note-taking device, lean back, and get inspired. I believe that everything you need to build a business of your dreams is already within you. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of the Online Business by Design podcast with your host, Ivana Ivanek. Today, I'm not only connecting with someone incredibly cool on the other side of the screen, but also on the other side of the world. Hello to Australia and hello, Darren Reeves.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
I think it's cool. We have to... ability to connect like literally over continents. So today's Friday in Curacao in the Caribbean, and it's Saturday morning for Darren Reeves in Australia. I think this is already something incredibly cool to mention. Yeah. Because today we are having so many opportunities to grow businesses digitally, locally, and or both, and to leverage our intellectual property in so many ways. Today, I am super excited to deep dive into the topic of writing a book and, yeah, sharing your knowledge with the world. Darren, I've been reading a little bit about you, and you haven't been always having a publishing house or being a best-selling author. Would you like to take us back as far as you want to give us a little bit of an insight where you come from?
Well, it's one heck of a story. So I'm more than happy to share it. So I was born in Africa, in Zimbabwe, and I lived there until I was 15. And when I was about 12, possibly even a little bit earlier, a lot of political violence started to happen in the country. And we were farmers at the time, and we had two farms, and my childhood was amazing. Like, it was a case of see you after dinner. You know, I would be making forts in trees, riding my horse, you know, rowing across the lake, that sort of thing, making rope out of tree bark, and really connected to nature. And then my world got turned absolutely upside down by this political violence. And if anybody has seen the movie Blood Diamond with Leonardo DiCaprio, who, by the way, South African accent needs a lot of work in that film. But But it was kind of like that scenario for us. And when I obviously was quite at a developing age in my early teen years, all of this traumatic events were happening around me. And we ended up moving to Australia, a country literally on the opposite side of the world that I knew nothing about, except my friend growing up used to wear an Australian t-shirt that had a picture of a koala bear and the Sydney Opera House and the Sydney Bridge. And that's literally all I knew about Australia. I had never been here. I had never had any desire to come here. And all of a sudden, I'm in this completely different culture, different country, different climate, different accents. And it was very interesting to see the differences between those countries. And so I did my high schooling here, or half of my high schooling here, because I had already been in high school back in Africa. And growing up in Africa, it was colonized by the British. And so we had this very kind of British upbringing of you go to school, you get good grades, you choose a suitable university degree, you get good grades in that, you graduate, you get a high paying job, you buy a house, you buy a car, you find a good man, you get engaged to said man, you marry said man, you have your first child, oh, and then you have another one, and you work every day, 9 to 5 for the rest of your life until you're about 65, although it's getting pushed further and further back now with the cost of living.
Definitely.
And you go on the occasional holiday and then you die. And I followed this supposed success path, this path to happiness and bliss, for many years. I got amazing grades in school. I'm a massive nerd. I still like to learn everything about everything. I love school. Got halfway through a degree in radiation therapy before deciding that that was not for me. For those of you who don't know what radiation therapy is, it is the treatment of the targeted treatment of cancer cells using lasers, lasered radiation. So a lot of physics and things like that. But I ended up deciding that wasn't for me because I had 6 months to graduation, and I was placed in a children's hospital where these beautiful, beautiful kids were dying of cancer, and my heart couldn't take it. I wasn't a mum at the time, but I knew that I wanted to have kids, and I just said, "There's no point in finishing this because I can't do this long term. My heart breaks too much." So I then kind of pivoted completely and went, "How do I earn all this money that people are telling me that I need to be successful and earn a degree?" So I decided to do a degree in criminology via distance education, full time. I also got a job in the railway working 12-hour shifts in an operational support role. And I did 2 days, 2 nights of those 12-hour shifts and had 4 days off. And I did that on repeat whilst doing a full-time university degree.
Oh, I'm
And
getting
so
tired by listening to it. Like I'm already exhausted, but I've been there too. I've
I
been working full time. I did not finish my sociology degree at that time, but I was going
know.
after work to university, and I was doing that, and I was sometimes wondering like, what the hell am I doing with my life? But it seemed to
Yeah.
be the thing to do at the time, and I didn't have the courage to think any further because everything was scary, everything beyond. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we climb these corporate ladders, right? Because we're told that that's what we must do. Like society creates these good little, and the schooling systems, in my opinion, are very outdated because they create good little workers for the country, basically. And we all do it. We all go down that rabbit hole. And don't get me wrong, like some people are meant for corporate and they love it and they thrive there, but some of us are not. I am one of the knots. So I graduated my degree. Graduated my degree in criminology. And I decided that I was going to continue my job in the railway because I was 23. I was making six figures. I had a glass corner office overlooking the harbour. I wore suits to work. I had a new car. I bought my first house. And I was like, oh, I am nailing this thing called life. Like, I am on the path to success. But on the inside, I was really unhappy. And I didn't even realize it because I was so conditioned to follow the success path and be the good girl and get the good grades and all of those sorts of things.
To accept
Until,
everything.
yeah, to accept
Yeah.
everything and to just, the status quo is the status quo. Don't rock the boat. Everything's perfect. Like you're ticking all the boxes. Don't complain. And until my body started telling me otherwise. So it got to a point in my career that I ended up getting shingles all up my spine. I am tiny anyway. I am only 49 kilos, kilograms, and I lost weight off that. I got very, very thin. A red rash broke out all along my jawline that nobody could diagnose. And I ended up having this kind of mental breakdown, if you like. Like, not one of the spectacular ones where you see people screaming in the streets and things. Like, it wasn't like that for me. It ended up with my then fiance taking me to the doctor and being like, "You need help." And my doctor was South African, so she understood the political trauma, the childhood trauma that I'd gone through. And she sat me down and she said, "Taryn, you are depressed." And I lost it at that. I was like, "There's no such thing as depression. I'm not weak. Do you have any idea how strong I am after what I've been through in my life?" Da 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 da. Like this full denial, right? But I ended up leaving there with some medication, and being diagnosed with PTSD, chronic depression, and major anxiety. So a nice little trifecta in my early 20s to go, there you go, deal with that now. And so I quit my high-flying career overnight, and I was on the medication for about a year. And I had a job in a not-for-profit organization working with people with brain injuries. I was doing their rostering systems. And then I got laid off. I got made redundant a week before a 5-week trip to the UK. And so my husband and I decided, we'll just go on the trip. And when I get back, I'll just get another job. Well, 2 weeks into that trip, I found out I was pregnant. And I rang my doctor and I said, I'm flushing these antidepressants down the toilet. And she said, not advisable. You can't just quit them cold turkey. And I said, well, watch me. And for anyone's listening, please don't do that. Like, take the advice of your doctors. But it is what I did, and I was absolutely fine. But I find looking at that positive pregnancy test, I don't know, something just shifted in me where I went, you can't keep living like this. You can't keep living like this. There must be another way. And I need to model that way for this little baby that I am now responsible for. So that was kind of my turning point.
I just shortly want to tap onto the conversation we had previously before we hit record. I think I want to shout out to every mother who has given birth to a child and is raising their children and run businesses. And now it gets to show again that everything that goes down the drain can be as terrible as it is, like no job, on medication, diagnosed with God knows what. And you'd be like, okay, now deal with that, as you said. And the moment you experience that sense of responsibility for your child, a woman changes and starts thinking differently. Just want to point that out, that this was probably for you a huge gift, besides the gift of having a child and a family, but a gift for your entire trajectory to be like, I have to do something differently. This is no longer only about me, because I believe as long as it's about us, we will go as far as we can go. There is nobody to stop you as a high achiever unless your body does. And I can so relate to your story. That's just wanted to point out that this is something to highlight and that women are super cool.
Women are amazing. We are amazing.
Incredible. It's a
Absolutely.
goosebump moment for me at this
It
point.
is. Shout out to all my fellow mamas and just women in general. Like, society these days places incredible, unrealistic expectations on women, and we still soldier on. And 90% of the time, we don't complain. And 90% of the time, we're dealing with adversity, and we still get shit done.
Yes. Speaking of getting shit done, so you said you're gonna be a mom. I can just assume that you didn't want to go back to that life you had anymore, because
No, there was no ways I was going back to court.
did you know
No.
what you're gonna
So,
be doing, or did you have to dis did you have you been on the Discovery channel, Taryn Reeves? What is she going to do with her life?
yeah, it was a real turning point, and I had never dreamt of having a business. Like, I didn't, that wasn't a thing to me. Like, I didn't realize that that was an option because it wasn't the prescribed success path that I had been brought up on, right? Anyway, so I came back to Australia from my holiday and I applied for a couple of jobs and I didn't get it because I was pregnant. Simple as that. So if you are a pregnant woman, you're applying for jobs, 90% of the time they don't say it to your face, but they will always find a better candidate. And from a business perspective, I do get that. I do. But it's another thing that's stacked against women in corporate. Anyway, so I went, you know what, whatever. I'm just gonna enjoy my pregnancy, which, by the way, I hated. I hated being pregnant. Like, what a nightmare. Some women love it. I hated it. So, I just wanted to validate those feelings for any mamas out there who hated being pregnant. Me too. And I was like, I'll just have my baby and then I will deal with the income issue. So I had my beautiful baby girl, Autumn, and that birth in itself was a traumatic experience and a different conversation for us to have at another time. How birth for women in the Western world is not healthy at all. It's a system, but we'll leave that one for another time. And 6 weeks after my daughter was born, I went, I'm not going back to corporate. I am going to find another way. And I was scrolling Facebook as you do. And I came across a post that was from a female entrepreneur, and she was looking for a stay-at-home mum to do some admin work for her. And I went, I can do admin work? Yes. And I was like, oh, just apply. You won't get it. Just apply, whatever. I applied and I got the job. And so now I had a 6-week-old baby in tow, and I was doing admin work when she was sleeping with this female entrepreneur. And I started to discover this whole world that existed outside of what I had been told. And entrepreneurship, stay-at-home mums, building businesses, having an income of your own as a woman and a mum. And I was like, oh, well, what is this thing? And it was like, well, it's a virtual assistant. And I was like, okay, cool. And I was really just dabbling. I was just doing it to keep my mind occupied because I am not the type of mum who can just go to all the play dates and change nappies and sing nursery rhymes all day. My brain needed active stimulation, and that was it for me. And so this woman started referring me to her friends, and all of a sudden I had clients. And I went, oh, do I have a business? Like, is this what I'm doing now? And so I'm like an accidental entrepreneur. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love this. This is, and so I dove in. I dove in both feet as I do when I'm passionate about something. And I researched, I taught myself to code websites. I taught myself to design. I taught myself how to copyright. I taught myself all of the things, taught myself social media, taught myself, you know, all the tech and the automations. And I started a virtual assistant business. I booked myself out and went, okay, so now I've capped my income and I'm trading time for money. How do I go bigger? And so I started hiring on people to work for me. And all of a sudden, I had a virtual assistants and website development business. And so I scaled that up and things were going great. I added in business coaching to that as a natural kind of side thing because women would always come to me and be like, how are you doing this when you've got kids and you're working from home? And like, if they're sick, you can just go and pick them up and spend time with them. I'm like, yeah, well, it's a lifestyle choice. I don't want someone else to raise my kids.
Once the business is built around that, around the lifestyle you want to live, around your values, around basically your day. And I just came across recently, it was an hour ago, a post where somebody asked, how does your perfect day look like? And I remember then when I was asking these people randomly, I'm collecting data, research, and answers from people while having conversations all over the globe. And you won't imagine that most of the people are not able to answer that question. How does your perfect day look like? And often, this is, I think, what keeps people even from thinking bigger of having those opportunities who are even in entrepreneurship already. We are still playing under the same rules as in corporate. I'm experiencing something that is so incredibly right now. And at first, I needed to go to my guilt phase till I realized, like, hold on, nobody's telling you what to do. I thought I'm an early riser, and I have been so far. Since about 2 months, Darren, I just freaking can't get out of bed. I get up for an appointment because I always like being in service to someone, it's a deal, and I'll be there. But I used to keep my mornings free of appointments to have my brain going and doing the hard work till 12 noon and then do podcasting and whatever, and client appointments. But now I can't get out of bed. I want to be in bed till 8 and then I want to drink my coffee till 10. And something is changing. I can't place it. But that guilt, because I thought I need to get early because I'm a morning person. I need to have done everything till 4 p.m. because this was my freedom that I created. And everything goes then so wrong if we don't let go of these kind of thoughts and self-imposed or societal imposed rules. So that's why I can imagine that when you were asked, like, how do you do that? Because is it really that simple to run a business and design your own life?
No, it is not simple. But the beautiful thing about being human is that we have choices. You know,
If we
like you
take them,
have
I
the
mean,
choice, like you, it's a choice. Everything is a choice. Every single, like you choose what to eat, you choose how to spend your time, you choose what to think, you choose what to write, you choose what to do for work, you choose what car to drive. Like everything is a choice. And sometimes we forget that. And we can choose to change. I always say to people, life is like a book. You are the author of your own story. You can be writing along, and then all of a sudden you don't like the story that you've written. Cross it out. Write something new. Turn the page. Write something new. It doesn't matter. Nobody's judging you except you, really.
These are these teachings that we got. Like, you've come already so far. Finish it. You've came already so far. Do it despite. Oh my God. These are like, changing, world-changing thoughts here. But continue. You said, so you realized that you can scale that business and you can build a business around your lifestyle and not your lifestyle around your business.
Correct. And so I had the virtual assistants and web development agency. I was business coaching as well. And the business was doing really well. I was turning over six figures. I had the lifestyle. I was a present mum for my daughter. And I have this lifelong love affair with books, with storytelling. I'm pretty sure I must have been reading in the womb. Like, it's my thing. I was the teenager or the young person who goes to a party and has a book in my bag just in case. I have a book in the glove box of my car in case I get stuck in traffic and I'm just going to read a little book. I have a Kindle in my bag. Like, I'm that person. Right? And I was, as I was networking in the business and things like that, I came across a woman who offered to teach me how to open my own publishing company. And I was like, what? That's a thing? Because traditionally, in my mind, a publishing company is one of the big five traditional publishing companies, like Hay House, like Penguin Random House. And you have to have big money and big backing and big corporate offices. And it just never occurred to me that someone like me, this girl from Africa with all this trauma and this story and all this things, could do that. And she was like, no, you can. And I was like, what? Like, I can turn my lifelong love affair into money? Stop it. And then I was like, Taryn, you've got a business that's doing really well. You've created the life. Don't touch what isn't broken. But there was this part of me that just knew that something had been missing and that this was what I wanted to do. And it was a stupid investment. It was like a six-figure, multi-six-figure investment that I had never spent. I didn't even have it. I withdrew it on my home loan to pay for this. And I just went, no, I've got to do this. And so I did. I invested and I mentored with this woman for 9 months. I opened my publishing company. And then what happened was, because I am so gifted at systems and hiring teams and seeing the big picture and breaking it down and seeing where the holes are and creating something to fill them, the other woman on the course and the other publishing companies across the globe started white labeling my services because we had built the system, we had built the team, we had made it bigger. Even my mentor started using my publishing company to help her publish books. And then I was doing my publishing on the front end as well. And so that's kind of how it was born. I started working with spiritual women in the beginning and quickly realized that I didn't want to attract the type of people who believed that they would make six figures by building a crystal grid and manifesting their millions. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm totally down for the woo-woo, but you have to have strategy and action as well. And so what I did was I bought my team, most of my team who was in the agency, the virtual assistants agency, across into the publishing company. And I shut everything down. I shut the business coaching down. I shut the web development and I shut the virtual assistants down. And I went all in on this publishing thing. And it's evolved since then. It's had a rebrand. It's had a name change. We've had a pivot. But here we are. Automatic Authority.
Wow. What a story. What? How many years from?
So I'm almost 9 years in business now. 9 years, two kids, one separation, one domestic violence incident in, and we're still standing.
Shout out to you. I want to deep dive now a little bit into this whole book writing. I used to believe, just as you did, that first of all, a publishing house is something huge because it's only those names we get to know. I wouldn't even know how to name, but I know that big publishing houses do publish big books or big authors, let's say big names. And as I was digging and considering myself writing a book, and you know, you go down the rabbit hole and you read and stuff. And then I personally, first of all, discovered that you can publish your book through many publishing houses because they do exist nowadays. But then the simple thought of writing a book. That's not, we all have intellectual property because we are selling it, we are teaching it. So we are selling and implementing it for others, helping others to implement. But that writing a book thing, and this is not just me, but everything I hear, like, am I good enough for this?
No, the old
the right
imposter
time
syndrome.
To start writing a book.
Look, I believe, I don't believe, I know that every entrepreneur is A, making things harder for themselves, and B, leaving money on the table if they are not using a book in their business, right?
Period.
Period. Full stop, mic drop, end of discussion. And the reason I know this is A, because of the data, and B, like you said, you already have intellectual property, right? You already have the courses, the podcasts, the blog posts, the newsletters, the 5-day challenges. I'll give you an example. One of my clients in Chicago, he runs a marketing agency. He had a 5-day course, right, that he was selling people into, 5-day challenge, sorry. We turned that into a book. He literally just sent me the logins to the course, and I wrote that book. I ghost wrote that book for him, and we published it, and we put it into a funnel. And now he has, not only does he have authority, speaking engagements, warm leads, not just cold leads who, you know, a Facebook ad pops up, warm leads because they have spent intimate time with him between the pages of this book. And when there's a physical book as well, it's sitting on your coffee table, right? You see it, and subconsciously that person is there. That person is in your home, right? And so that's what he's working smarter, not harder. Right, he's already done the work. So instead of flushing money in Facebook ads and things like that, which I also recommend, depending on the stage of business that you're at, can be very beneficial. But the book is the simplest, fastest, low friction way to turn a cold audience into people who are ready to buy your next level offers. Right. And I'm a big fan as a mama, as a business owner, as someone who values, you know, pottering around in the garden, growing tomatoes and playing with my chickens. Like, I value time and freedom. I don't want to be creating a new webinar every 3 months and then promoting that on social media and writing the copy for that and da, 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 and then a 5-day challenge and then another email newsletter and then I have to go live on Facebook every day. No, thank you. Like, I just don't want to do that. I don't see that as an efficient use of my time. Right. So I had to think outside the box and go, well, what is the best way to do this? And then you look at all the giants in their industries: Alex Hormozi, Gabrielle Bernstein, Brene Brown, Russell Brunson. All of these people, what are they using on the front end to generate leads?
Your book.
A book.
One or many. Yeah.
Yeah, one or many. And it is doing the heavy lifting for them all day long. All day long. And so the majority of their advertising cost is going to promoting that book in a funnel, which is turning wonders for them. Look on your Facebook feed. Sabri Subi's there all the time. Love his ads. He's amazing. But what is he selling? A book, which is generating leads for his marketing agency. Yeah. And this whole imposter syndrome thing that you brought up, totally normal. Totally normal. Am I good enough to write a book? What if I write it and somebody doesn't read it? What if I write it and my mum gets upset because I said something in there that she didn't like? Right?
I think you're just pinning all my thoughts one after the other. On a pin board,
And
yeah.
these are normal. But
Yeah.
let me ask you this. Am I a good enough question? If you are already selling something, you're already teaching something, and you know something about something that could change somebody else's life, yeah, you are good enough because you're already doing it. So why not take work smarter and not harder, simplify your marketing, turn on the warm leads tap, and put it all into a book? It's honestly that simple.
Would you
And then
suggest writing it yourself, or would you suggest having it written? Because this is also something like you ghostwriting, right?
yes, I do
Yeah.
ghostwriting. I've got ghostwriters on my team. I'm a multiple best-selling author myself, with my own books. But it comes down to the question of time versus money for entrepreneurs. The age old with anything, time versus money, right? You spend money to buy back time, or you spend time to make money. Okay. And my question is, my point is, it depends on the stage of business that you are at, right? The people I ghostwrite for, they're very, very busy, high-level entrepreneurs. They don't have the time nor the interest to write a book. Like that course example, he sent me the logins. I wrote on his behalf. What was he doing whilst I was doing that book creation for him? He was generating leads. He was making sales. He was going to events because that was what he was good at and that he wanted to do. And he had the money to invest in a ghostwriter. Okay. And there's this also myth that, oh, I have to be a really good writer, or English has to be my first language, or I have dyslexia, I can't write a book. All of that is crap. That's what editors are for. Right, we in our publishing company, the books go through three stages of editing by three different highly qualified people. Right, I've worked with people with dyslexia, with autism, with ADHD, whose English is like their fifth language. It doesn't matter. Everyone's got a story to tell, and we work with that, right?
So now having the opportunity to actually listen to the steps of writing a book, because you know how it is. Every time you look at something new, first of all, new is scary, and then we don't know all about it, and it just seems like, oh my God, I need to sit down in front of a white page, then I need to write something. How I'm gonna do this, and then I need to take this and sell it on Amazon or what? As I think you taking us through these stages, it literally sounds like super, like it sounds less scary all of a sudden. It sounds tangible, it sounds doable. And depending on, yeah, how much you want to pay, I do believe some people have the urge to write themselves. I think it's a, not just a healing aspect of your story, perhaps, but also something that you create. I might be the person because I like challenging myself. But then when we go into the publishing aspect, what are the differences between self-publishing and using a publishing house? Like,
So
for
there's a few things I
example,
want.
yours.
Yeah, there's a few things I want to unpack there in what you just said, Ivana. Is firstly, if you need any support in writing, publishing, or marketing a book, you are welcome to come and join my free community. I put all the resources in there. I want you also my book, Automatic Authority. You can get this on Amazon. You can get it from any of your good bookstores. I have written this specifically, so somebody can pick this up and they should be able to write, publish, and market their own book.
We will put
I've given
the
all the
links
steps.
in the show notes, so everybody listening to this
Links
and
in the
somebody who
show
has
notes.
the ability to do it all, you will find all resources that Taryn just mentioned in the show notes.
Absolutely. Now, what I also want people to hear is you do not have to take 3 months out of your life to go to a secluded cabin in the woods with a typewriter to write your book. As lovely as that sounds, I mean, I am down for
Sorry.
that. If you're going, please invite me. But you don't have to do that. We are busy entrepreneurs. We are parents. We are sisters. We are, friends. We are aunts. We are all of the things. We've got a million roles happening in our lives. And it's unrealistic to say, I'm going to hit pause on my life to write this book, for the next 3 months. Not
And
going to
you
happen.
bet it won't happen, no matter how pretty that cabin is. Sometimes I'm trying to lock myself up. I just recently wrote an article for a traditional media thing. And I said, no, I'm going to do this, you know, on a Sunday morning when nobody's disturbing me. I'm going to wake up all feeling nice with my coffee. And I was sitting there and I just had no clue what to do.
And you're staring at the blank page.
And you know how I wrote that article? In between everything. Because it was creative spark after the other. And then I made like a short edit. And yes, I do get that every time we set these big goals and we imagine something that is unrealistic, it will become literally that unrealistic to maintain it.
Exactly. Yeah. So what I teach people is to find the pockets of time in their current lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And you need to write every day, whether that's 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever. That's fine. One word in front of the other is how we get to a finished book, is what I tell my clients. One word in front of the other. And some days it doesn't even have to be good. It can be word vomit. Who cares? Like, get it out there. I also want people to hear that you don't have to traditionally write your book. So you don't have to write it or type it. Some people are better at speaking. So speak to Google as it's writing in a Google Doc. Speak it out loud. If you're going for a walk and you're like, oh, I'm feeling inspired to write, you know, like record some of this stuff for my book, record it and then transcribe it when you get back and clean it up later. It doesn't have to be this traditional kind of vision of a writer. You find what works for you and you run with that. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Now, the other question that you asked me was the difference between traditional publishing and self-publishing. I also want to highlight that there's a third option, which is the hybrid publisher, which is what my company is. Okay. So you've got traditional publishing, hybrid publishing, and self-publishing. The bookends of those are traditional and self-publishing. I'll start with traditional. Okay, just like with everything, there's pros and cons to every single option, and it is up to the person to choose that best option for themselves. Your traditional publisher is like your Hay House, your Penguin Random House, your Allen and Unwin, you know, all of those sorts of really big corporate organizations that really started publishing books way back when and used to be the only option available for people to publish. The pros of that is that they have a very proven and big system of professionals that are doing the work for you, right? This one to me is a bit of a pro and a con. People think that they get paid to write their book from a traditional publishing company. You may get, it's not, it used to be all the time. It used to be like a standard, not anymore. A lot of the traditional publishing companies have dropped this away, but you may get an advance, so some money to write your book. What people don't understand about an advance is it's just that. It is like a loan, okay? And you will not see any money back from that publishing company until the amount of sales your book has made back that loan. Okay, so it's not like, oh, I got paid to write my book. No, that's a myth. Okay,
and that's why probably these companies only pay if they deeply know that they will have a return on invest.
Absolutely. So this brings me to one of the cons of a traditional publishing company is that it's very hard to get your foot in the door. You will have to hire a literary agent, so you do have to pay money to even get your foot in the door. So the literary agent will write pitches to their various network of publishing houses, and most of the time there's a lot of no's come back. What they are looking for is people with big social media followings, people who do events, people who speak, people who have proven sales systems that they are able to sell out things, people who are good marketers, right? If
JK
you don't
Rowling
have that,
was, JK Rowling was rejected, I think, 6 years long.
Yes.
Before she got anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know. Like, can you even imagine, like, Harry Potter? I love Harry Potter. Like, can you even imagine Harry Potter getting rejected? Like, no, you can't. Mm-hmm. But it happens. Mm-hmm. You know, and it happened so many times. You don't have a lot of creative control with your traditional publishing companies. So they are after money, they are after turnover, right? They're a big business. And they are invested in how much your book makes because they own your book pretty much.
Right. Yeah.
And they will tell you what you can and can't say. They will tell you what your cover must and must not look like. They will have you on deadlines, and they don't actually help you all that much. You're a number in a big kind of turnover machine, right? Your royalties, the maximum royalties that I have ever seen from a traditional publishing company being in the industry is 15%, one
One five.
five, one five. So you, as the creative person with all this intellectual property and the system that you've developed that is changing lives, is paying someone else a huge chunk because they published your book. Like, to me, that's madness, right? It just doesn't make sense. But they do have good distribution channels. They can get your book into, lots of major bookstore chains and things like that. Marketing, they will market your book probably for the month of release, and then, like, you're a number, you're dropped off. Someone new's come on, so they're going to market that book now. So that's your traditional publishing company, right? But it does give you the prestige, if you like. It will help you get into more bookstores, and it will, give you that authority, if you like, to have that stamp on your book. Your other end of the spectrum, your self-publishing. Okay, this is the best option for the entrepreneur who has a lot of time to waste. And I say waste intentionally, because I'll tell you why. When you self-publish, you are responsible for everything. You have to find out how to write the book. You have to find out how to publish the book in the right formats for the right platforms. You have to find out how to get your book onto those platforms. You have to hire the right editors. You have to hire the right cover designers. You have to hire the right typesetters. And when I say typesetting, that is the art of turning a A4 Google Doc or Word document into what a book needs to look like. Okay. And then you have to work out sales. You have to work out distribution, marketing, PR. This is all on your shoulders. And it does cost money. You will have to pay your editor. You will have to pay your typesetter. And a lot of the times, I'll give you an example. When I was building my publishing company and hiring on people to do these various jobs within the company, I wasted so much money and so much time. There were times when it was 2 a.m. in the morning. I'm in the fetal position on the floor of my office crying because I had a book deadline and my editors disappeared, gone in the middle of a project. And I'd already paid them. And this happens multiple times with multiple people. You would know, as entrepreneurs building businesses, like, this happens when you're hiring on anybody. It's a risk you take.
Yeah.
Same thing with publishing your book.
If you work with freelancers, this is literally a danger in that you will be
Yes.
left because yeah, people are making probably some small money off that, and if they get a bigger
Yes.
project, what's easier than say no? So yeah, I
Yes.
get that.
Yeah. So that's
Would
why I
freak me
say,
out.
that's why I say, be willing. It's for the entrepreneur who has a lot of time to spend researching these things and who is willing to lose a bit of money in making the mistakes. But you do get 100% creative freedom. You do retain 100% of your royalties and the sales. You do retain 100% of your book IP. You own that book, right? So there's that. But then you have the middle ground, a hybrid publisher like mine. Now, there are lots of these popping up all over the globe. What I will say is, all hybrid publishing companies are not created equal. Please, if you are going to go the hybrid publishing route, do your homework on that publisher first. Look at their video testimonials. Go out and buy a copy of their book, or order a copy of a book that they've published off Amazon, so you can see the quality, right? Because they're not all created equal. And I've had a number of clients come to me where I've had to kind of rescue their book from the terrible result that they've had from another publishing company. So please, please vet your publishers, okay? But the hybrid publisher is the beautiful middle ground, in my opinion, because it's like working with a traditional publishing house, but not where you're not where you're a number, you're a partner. It's a co-creative partnership. We work in tandem. Well, this is how my company works. I can't speak for others. But we work in tandem with the entrepreneur to go, well, what's the end goal of the book? What do you want to achieve? Right. This is how we need to write it. okay, this is awesome what you're saying. I'm not going to tell you that you can or can't say this, but this may cause legal issues for you. How about we say it like this and you make the choice? The entrepreneur always has the final say. We develop covers after feedback from the entrepreneur going, what is your vision for the cover? What are you feeling? What colors do you like? What do you want to see? And then we take that, align it with our expertise about what we know is selling well in the genre at the time, and we create something and we give it to them for feedback. Okay.
So
Also,
the strategic buildup to understand this is not in only in of interest for the publisher, but it is a co-creation process, and the strategies being used or everything implemented is in high of interest of the entrepreneur.
absolutely. But it's also all done by experts. There are expert typesetters. There are expert editors on the team. There are expert media people on the team for when we're going to market the book. Okay. You retain your book. Like I send all book cover files and all typeset files and all final editor files back to the author at completion of the project and go, here you go. These are yours. You retain full control, right? 100% of royalties in most hybrid publishing companies go back to the author. So we, or the way that my company is structured, we are a service provider. You pay for the service, you know exactly what you're getting within that package or that service. And then once our contract is finished, that's it. Like I don't get any money. If your book goes on to be a J.K. Rowling or whatever, and make millions of dollars, that millions of dollars goes in your pocket, not mine. So that's kind of how a publisher, a hybrid publisher works, which I think is a beautiful middle ground.
That was new to me, and I'm sure it's new to many because where do you start researching, like how you write? As I say, writing a book is a big chunk, as we just heard, of so many departments. Because
So many. It's a
you only
huge
bring
project.
the idea, you only bring the intellectual knowledge, but to be, let me summarize this, good communicator and therefore writer, an editor, somebody who knows legal stuff, who can do covers, who can bring it from an A4 page into a tangible book format, to build the sales funnels, the marketing, the release. Yeah, I think this is really something that can take about 10 years and a lot of frustration and
Well, I'm going to blow that right out of the water for you, Ivana. So I wrote my book, Automatic Authority, this one here, for those who are seeing the visual of this, in 7 days with a 7-year-old, and I wrote it in two stints, 4 days when I was pregnant. I then gave birth to my son, and I finished the book in the other 3 days after that when I was nursing him. So if I do it, if I can do that and I can produce a high quality book like this, so can you. So can anybody, right? And this book will show you how to do that. Exactly, step by step. My free community will show you how to do that, or the self-paced course if that's your jam, the mastermind if that's your jam, or the one-on-ones if that's your jam. Or, I mean, go hang out with me on YouTube, like absorb that content, like go for it. There is nothing standing in your way except you, right? It doesn't have to be this 10-year thing. It is absolutely tangible if you're smart about it and you have the right people guiding you.
I think like everything as we are moving now also from the industrial age into the digital era, and we have those opportunities, things are changing. Things are faster, more efficient, more doable. And I just like the fact that now so many more people have the opportunity to actually write a book, because this hasn't always been like this. And I'm incredibly
No.
thankful that you are here and sharing all this incredible wisdom with us that we certainly needed. So I just wish for so many people. First of all, guys, we're gonna read Taryn's book. This is the first step what
Leave
we're
a
gonna
review.
do. And then we are going, to put it together, because it's everything is doable if you know the first step.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
to
One word in front of the other.
one word in front of the other, indeed. And to round up this beautiful conversation, I would like to ask you one more question, Taryn.
Oh, go for it.
What
What is it?
or how do you how would you like to spend your old years?
Oh, reading books.
No
Such
way.
an I do. I honestly also read books for fun. Like I'm always reading. How would I like to spend my older years? Well, my big dream is to have a self-sustaining hobby farm. I want to be self-sustained, off the grid. I want a cozy chair with a fire in my office with floor-to-ceiling bookshelves. I want to still be working with my team and my clients. I don't want to retire. No ways. I love this way too much. But I can see my chicken's head from my office now. It's just poked its little frilly head up. I want to see my chickens running around and my kids and my grandkids. I want to travel. I love traveling to all the different places. My bucket list for travel is ridiculously long. That's how I want to spend my older years. I want to spend my older years inspiring the younger generations, making the world a better place, and living off the grid.
Absolutely love it. My traveling list is probably just as long, and I can't help but just say that one day our path will
One.
meet in person.
Yes, that would be so exciting. Gosh, Caribbean is so high on my list too, and you get to live there. How beautiful.
You're welcome at any time. It is indeed beautiful. Like sometimes I do these words, sometimes I don't know how to, I just don't know how. I just need to remind myself and pinch myself and be like, you're here.
Yes.
Like it
You
is
did
that
it.
it is
Wow.
mine. I made
You
it.
made the
So cheers.
choice. You
Yeah.
created it. You're amazing.
I did. Taryn, thank you for being an incredible guest.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.